Song sums it all up, doesn't it? Really tells us the message of what Good Friday is all about. It's good for us as our Saviour suffered in our place. It means that it's good for us to find salvation, forgiveness, everlasting life in Him. This morning we're looking at the topic of regarding Calvary. He didn't come down. He didn't come down. So let's pray as we look at God's word this morning. Our Father, we thank you for those songs we've been singing that remind us that this day, out of all the year, we remember so specially the death of our Saviour. Remember the cost for him to go to the cross, to give up his life in our place, to die for sinful men and women, boys and girls, to deal with sin. Deal with your wrath against sin, so that penalty paid now means that we, by faith in him, no longer have to suffer the penalty for our own sin. Well, may that be refreshingly real to us today as we come to remember our Saviour. In his name we pray. Amen. Today is Good Friday. A day that is central to the whole Christian faith. A day we remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And not just his death, but the reason for which he died. Because his death is different to the death of any other person who has ever died. So today we're looking at some words that were hurled at him while he suffered upon the cross just prior to his death. And I wonder, as we consider it this morning and thinking about your own life, do you ever find it hard to say no to people? When someone makes a request of you, do you always want to be able to say yes? Depending on your personality or your gifts, it can be quite difficult to refuse a request that someone makes of you. Jesus had many demands placed upon his life while here on earth. There were many requests of him that came to him by people who were in deep need. And he answered many of those requests. He helped people to find answers to their greatest needs. Think for a moment of some of the requests that Jesus answered, to which he brought a tremendous resolution to. Restored relationships, healed bodies, dead people raised to life. Consider for a moment just some of those events that Jesus was a part of in the book of Mark alone. And we just read a few of those just to bring them to your attention this morning. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 30 and 31, we read these words. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. And so he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Peter's mother-in-law was healed by Jesus of a great fever. A little bit further down in Mark chapter 1, verses 32 to 34, and at evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Crowds of people came to him, sick people, demon-possessed people, and he healed them. Verses 40 to 41, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." The leper was healed. Chapter 2 and verse 3. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And you know the story of this man, and they couldn't get through to Jesus because of the crowds outside the house where he was speaking. And so they lowered him down through the roof. And Jesus healed the man both physically and spiritually, forgave his sins, and he walked away a healed man. Jesus answered the requests of his friends. Chapter 4 of Mark and verses 38 and 39. But he was in the stern of the boat asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. The disciples feared for their lives. They were in great need to be saved from the storm, and Jesus, there asleep in the boat, wakes up as they awoke him and stills the storm. Chapter 5, verse 23 of Mark's Gospel. One of the rulers, verse 22, of the synagogue came. His name was Jairus, and he came to Jesus when he saw him and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." And Jairus comes to him with great faith that Jesus could heal his sick daughter, and Jesus delays the process of healing as he deals with other people who come to him along the way. And so Jairus's servant comes and says, "It's too late. Don't worry the master, because my daughter is dead," or "your daughter is dead." And Jesus reminds Jairus that death is no obstacle to him. And so he says to Jairus' daughter, "Talitha, arise." And she arises from the dead. Jesus answered so many requests of people who came to him. But there was one request that he did not answer, that he did not come to respond to in the way that the people asked of him. In Mark chapter 15, in our reading this morning, there were people who came to him as he hung upon the cross between the two robbers, one on the right and on the left. And verse 29 says, "And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross.'" Save yourself and come down from the cross. What a request. Save yourself. What a temptation. What an opportunity to really demonstrate his power. To show the scoffing crowd that he really was the Son of God, that he was the all-powerful one, that he could come down from the cross. To put to rest once and for all the doubt that resided in the Jews and the Romans alike regarding his identity. This would show that he really was the Messiah, if he could come down, remove himself from the nails that pinned him to the cross. And as the scoffing thief on the cross said to him in Luke 23:39, "If you are the Christ, the Messiah, save yourself and us." And little did the thief realize that Christ was there for that very purpose, to save him, a sinful man. If he would only acknowledge his selfish, sinful state and trust in him who was hanging on that middle tree. But that scoffing thief didn't realize that Jesus couldn't save both himself and others. If he saved himself, then he couldn't have saved others. If Jesus came down off the cross, he wouldn't have saved others. The other thief on the other side of Jesus, the penitent one, did turn to the Lord in those last minutes of his life and was saved. He knew his sin. He knew that he was guilty. He knew he was on the cross because he deserved to be there. But he also recognized that Jesus was who he claimed to be, the innocent Son of God, and he cast himself on him in utter desperation because there was no other hope for him. And Jesus said to him, "Today, you shall be with me in paradise." But Jesus didn't come down from the cross. He refused the request of those passing by, the Jewish religious leaders, as they mocked him. He could have easily come down off the cross and walked away. Remember what he said to those who came to arrest him in the garden in Matthew 26 and verse 53. He says, "Do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" The hymn writer summed it up so aptly when he said he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. There was a far greater plan at stake than the whim of a few mocking Jewish leaders and Romans and others who are passing by. It's a far greater plan than for him to jeopardize his Father's eternal plan. What would have happened if Jesus did come down from the cross? Four things that I just want to draw to your attention this morning that would have or wouldn't have taken place if Jesus had come down from the cross. The first one is that the veil of the temple would not have been torn in two. In Mark 15:38, further down in that chapter, we read, as Jesus breathed his last, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What does that mean? That means there would have been no access for sinners into the presence of God, because that temple veil was there to separate God in his presence of holiness in the Holy of Holies from sinful humanity from coming and being destroyed through his holiness, because sin could not be present in God's presence. And so that veil was so aptly pictured, the separation between a holy God and sinful humanity. And when Jesus died upon the cross, that picture was so aptly drawn for us of the veil of the temple torn in two from top to bottom, demonstrating that now there was a way back to God, that there was a way for sinful humanity to be reconciled to a holy God, to have the sin dealt with and removed, to receive the righteousness of the Son of God, and now being able to access the presence of God. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." The innocent for the guilty, he died in the place of sinners, so that he might bring us to God. And so if the veil wasn't torn, there'd be no reconciliation with our Creator, the one who designed us to have a relationship with him. We would be estranged from him forever. No opportunity to have our sin and guilt removed forever. And so if Jesus had have come down off that cross, the veil wouldn't have been torn in two. If Jesus had come down off that cross, there'd be no forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:22 reminds us of the very importance of Jesus' death upon that cross, where it says, "According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." Without Christ's death upon the cross, there would be no forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Brings us that same reminder too. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." We were dead in our sins. Without Christ we are lost and dead with no hope, but the fact that Christ died upon the cross provides hope for sinful humanity, for each one of us. We would be still separated from him forever, suffering the condemnation of our own sins, eternal judgment in hell, and we wouldn't have the ability to forgive others and live in harmony with other people, as Ephesians 4:32 reminds us that our ability to truly forgive only comes from the fact that God has forgiven us. Be kind to one another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. In Christ, we have the capacity to forgive because God has forgiven us. So the veil would not be torn in two. There'd be no forgiveness of sins. And if Christ had have come down off the cross, there'd be no everlasting life with God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No eternal life, only judgment if Christ came down. The life that Jesus offers to repentant sinners is based solely upon the accomplished fact of salvation, his death and his resurrection, which would not be available to us if Jesus had have come down from the cross. And if Jesus had have come down off the cross, our faith would be in vain. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul spends a whole chapter telling us about the wonder of what we have in Christ due to his death and his resurrection. Verses 13 and 14, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If Jesus didn't die, then our faith in him as our Saviour would be futile, because if he didn't die, then there would be no resurrection. And if no resurrection, then Christianity is null and void. No hope for the future. We would just be a deluded bunch of people wasting our time gathering together week by week. But Jesus didn't come down from the cross. Are you grateful that he didn't listen to the pleas of those who mockingly called him to step down from the cross, to break free from the nails? Because he did die a cruel death of crucifixion. He did die as a substitute for sinners like you and me. He did pay the penalty for sin, the death penalty which was required for offence against God. He did die so that then God could forgive guilty sinners. Are you thankful for the truth that God's eternal plan wasn't thwarted? That things did go according to the plan that God had for salvation? That Jesus went through with all that he came to earth to do? He is the Saviour of the world, and each one of us can experience forgiveness and peace with God through this one, Jesus Christ, who hung upon a cross, went all the way to death, was buried and rose again. He's the Saviour of the world, available to all, that we must appropriate by faith what he offers to us, his gift of love, of grace, of mercy and forgiveness. We must come to him personally and receive as we turn from our sin and respond to his offer of forgiveness, to have peace with him. And so this Good Friday we remember our Saviour, who didn't come down from the cross as he was requested, but stayed there so that your sin and mine would be fully paid, that the wrath of God would be satisfied, that salvation could be offered to all who would come. May we be thankful and grateful today for what's been accomplished there at Calvary. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for what was accomplished through our Saviour's death upon the cross. We thank you that in that moment of death, the veil was torn in two, demonstrating the access into your presence through Jesus Christ. Thank you that our sins could be forgiven, that we can have everlasting life, that our faith isn't futile, it isn't in vain. It's valid because you have endorsed our faith by your response, by forgiving us, giving us your Holy Spirit, so that we might have that guarantee forever of everlasting life. We thank you what Calvary accomplished, and as we remember this Good Friday, what Jesus Christ, your Son, and our Saviour has done for each one of us. We praise you and thank you today in his name. Amen.